You would, if you'll stand when you find the text, we'd appreciate that, just for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter number 11, let's stand and read. I got to say this, this message was about, I'd say, a little over 90% done by Thursday night. And I hadn't worked on it at all on Friday, not yet. I had planned to, and I got the phone call to head out to the hospital and visit Johnny. And the thing is when it hit me later on Friday or early Saturday, I'm not sure exactly what day it hit me, but when it hit me, what I was preaching, I was like pretty shook up because the Lord knew before when I didn't even know. And I like seeing those kind of things. You might think this morning, our pastor prepared this message because of what's going on, but no, the Holy Spirit prepared this message before I even knew what was going on or what was going to happen to Johnny. And I like seeing God work that way. Amen. It's a blessing to see God work. I've said it before. I like it when God's in it. When God's not in it, I don't enjoy it at all. When people just kind of come, whatever, and they leave untouched, that does nothing for me. When people leave saying, I needed that, brother, God was in it, I think you were following me around this week. And no, I wasn't. I have a life, I promise. I like that. I don't even mind it every once in a while when somebody just gets ripped, snorting, mad at me. I feel like God was in it, you know? I mean, I'm doing my job. I'm a preacher, and I did my job, and that's great. Not everybody's going to like God's message, amen? I don't like people getting mad all the time, so please don't like make that a habit to be a blessing to me or anything, but that doesn't bother me. I hate it when God's not in it, and I believe God's in it this morning, and I'm hoping and praying that He is. John chapter 11, verse number 1, now there was a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Now, really strange setup there in verse number 5. He says, now, stop for a second, I want you to know something. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They had come and said Lazarus is sick. Now, just so you know real quick here, Jesus loves them. And then Jesus said, okay, and stayed right where he was for 2 days. The man was on his deathbed, and Jesus stayed right where he was for 2 days and didn't do a thing. Skip down with me, if you would, for the sake of time, to verse number 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Skip down to verse number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Let's pray and ask God to bless the preaching this morning. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the message that I believe with all my heart you've given for us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help me, that you'd fill me with your Spirit, that you'd use me and make me a blessing and a help to the people that are here this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of when Jesus is late. When Jesus is late. Looking at verse number 21, you'll notice, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Looking at verse number 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, you know the storyline here. They had sent a message to Jesus because Lazarus had become very, very ill, and they knew that he was nigh unto death. And so they said, go tell Jesus, the miracle worker, we know him, we love him, we're close to him. And we know he loves us. There's no doubt about the fact that Jesus loves us. So go tell Jesus, because if he'll get here, and if he gets here in time, Jesus, the miracle worker, will definitely be able to save our brother. They sent this message thinking and expecting and hoping that Jesus Christ would show up when they needed him on time. And guess what Jesus did? Thanks for the information, but I'm staying right here. And 2 days passes, and then Jesus says, all right, now let's go see Lazarus. Now, here's what I think probably happened, because in verse 21 and verse 32, Martha and Mary, the sisters, both say the exact same thing to Jesus when Jesus shows up. Now, the coincidence of that is pretty, you know, pretty low chances of that actually happening, because they're two different people. So I would say this in sanctified imagination. I'm not trying to claim to be inspired scripture here or add to the Word of God, just food for thought. Meditate on the Word of God when you read it. I got to think that Mary and Martha had a conversation or two in the 2 days that had transpired between them while their brother is laying there sick as he can be. They're looking at him. They're worried about him. He's dying. Things are not going well. They are on pins and needles. Their guts are hurting. That deep burning feeling you have deep inside of you when somebody you love is in a bad way and does not look like they're going to pull out of it. And there they are watching their brother, and they're going, where is Jesus? Why is he not coming? What does Jesus have going on that is more important than Lazarus, who's been faithful to him, Lazarus who loves him, we who love him? Why couldn't Jesus cut out a little slice of time for us at a time like this? I don't understand what's going on here. And then when he passed, they look at each other and say, if Jesus had shown up, if Jesus had taken us seriously, if Jesus would have known or paid attention when we sent the messenger to him, he wouldn't have died. There had to be a little bit of less than positive emotions going on in their hearts toward Jesus Christ based on their circumstances. And can I say this morning that that is actually very, very normal? Because bad things happen to good people, and we live in a sinful world, and there's all kinds of pain, there's all kinds of heartbreak, there's all kinds of bad times that happen, and sometimes we sit back and think, man, if Jesus loved me, if Jesus had been here, why isn't the Lord doing something about this? Why did God let this happen? I don't understand. Can I say this? One of the most liberating concepts the Lord ever got through my thick skull. I'm a slow learner, but once I learn, I got it. One of the most liberating concepts God ever got through my head in regards to ministry was that I don't always have to have an answer for everybody about everything. The fact of the matter is that it is exactly what God would have me to do in the right response sometimes to say, brother, I don't know, but I love you. Brother, I don't know, but I'm here and I'll pray for you and God will see you through this. I believe that and I'm here for you and I'm not going anywhere. Sometimes that is the right answer, folks, because we don't always know or understand what the Lord is doing. And can I just say something without you thinking I'm disrespecting or being irreverent to God? I'm not at all. I fear him with all my soul. But can I tell you this morning that sometimes, according to my perspective and my feelings and my emotions and my timetable, God is late. From the way I'm looking at it, look, it doesn't make sense. How is that for great, encouraging Easter Sunday morning? But that's the truth of reality in a sinful world. Sometimes, from a human perspective, we can look at a situation and say, look, that's just not right. I cannot comprehend why God would allow that to happen to that person. I don't get why that would happen to it. There's a lot of evil people in the world, God, not trying to, you know, hate one person more than another, but there are some evil people out there, and if I had to pick somebody to go through this, it would not be the one that I love, the one who I believe is a good testimony, the one I'm praying for. It wouldn't be that person. God, it wouldn't have been Lazarus. What about all those Pharisees who think they're better than everybody else, who hate the woman who's caught in sin, while they're the ones who secretly know who she is and know where she lives and know everything about her? How did they know? I'll tell you how they knew. They're living a double life while they're throwing her under the bus, and they look like they're walking scot-free. And yet good people are suffering. You just, look, You don't always have an answer for that. Sometimes your reaction and my reaction is, God, if you'd have been here, it wouldn't have happened. That's all I can say. These are some good women, folks. Because when they heard the Lord was coming, Martha runs out there to see him. When you study the whole passage and the storyline of these two, Mary is the quieter, much more spiritual one of the two, and Martha's the worker. She's the go-getter. She's got an aggressive personality. She's the communicator. She's the one that's kind of extroverted, and she's out there. She hears Jesus is coming. She runs out there to meet him, and what does she do? She shows him some respect. She bows down at his feet. They're not rebelling on God because this happened. They're not mad at God in the sense that they're going to quit and just go back to the world and just forget God, forget church, forget my Bible. I don't believe anymore. It's not like that. Mary falls on her face before God in a sign of humility, in a sign of worship, in a sign of obedience and submission to him, in spite of the fact that he allowed something to happen that they did not understand or think was right. It ripped their hearts out, and yet they're still there before God saying, if you'd have showed up, wouldn't have happened. Can I say, I believe the most misunderstood person in the universe is God Almighty. You ever feel misunderstood? Come on now, are you married for more than 3 weeks? Okay, if you've been married for more than 3 weeks, when I say, do you ever feel misunderstood, you should go, mm-hmm. It's okay, you can fight later when you leave church, it's all right. You ever feel misunderstood? Isn't that a hurtful feeling? I can only imagine what the Lord must feel. When here he is, he's God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, for you and I, it's a big deal if a man lays down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his enemies. I was thinking about that this week. I mean, this is horrible, and I'm sorry to make this confession. Pray for me to grow spiritually. But I was thinking this week while I was driving down the highway, I was heading west on 96, and I was thinking, I don't know that I would actually say at 40 years old, yes, I am willing to die. I will check out of my wife's life. I will check out of my children's life. I will give my life. I hope I have another 40 good years. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Maybe 50. If I'm really chipper and can see and run and everything else, then give me 50. And say, no, I'll stop it right now for one soul to get saved. I mean, you talk spiritual, but think about, imagine this is it. It's over. Your wife's crying. Your kids are crying. You're checking out. You're done. All your hopes and dreams are gone. No future. No tomorrow. You're done with your life for one person to get saved. Let alone people that hate me, misunderstand me, are going to treat me wrong after I save them. That's what God did. That's what Jesus Christ did for people he knew were going to treat him wrong after he saved them, let alone before. He is so misunderstood. He's misunderstood, obviously, by Mary and Martha. We've already seen that. But he's even misunderstood by his disciples. Look at verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not yet 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake not of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus says, all right, let's go into Judea. 2 days later. They are so short-sighted, they already forgot about Lazarus. They're like, Lord, the last time we went there, people wanted to stone you. Why are you wanting to go back there? You're misunderstanding what's going on here. Okay, let me explain it to you. Okay? Lazarus sleepeth. Now, throughout the Bible, that word sleepeth is talking about the body being laid down in death. The sleeping in the body. Laid down in death. They're still like, well, if he sleeps, he's going to do great. Jesus says, you guys, Lazarus is dead. Here he is with his closest inner circle, and everything he says all the way along the line, when he spells something out to them, they misunderstand what he says. How aggravating is that? Now, I'm not Jesus. He seems like he handled everything great. I don't handle it so great at all. It's like, what do you need for me to get this through your head? Everything he was doing, they were missing. Can I just make a quick application here, folks? When you first come to church, you first open your Bible, man, this is a hard book to understand. I don't get it. I read my Bible and I'm confused, man. You know, thanks for the help, preacher, but okay, after a little while of staying in your Bible and reading and coming to church and listening to good preaching, you start going, wow, that's an amazing book. And we learn some things. Oh, he's going into Judea. He's not worried about them. Oh, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is sleeping. No, there's more you need to know yet. Lazarus is dead. There is a progression to spiritual growth. There is a progression to understanding your Bible. It does not come quick. It does not come overnight. If we expect our medical doctors to go to school for 8 and 12 years to work on a sinful body that they can only do a little bit with for a short period of time and then it's over anyhow, what makes us think that we can just dabble in the Bible and pop into church on Sunday morning and think that we're going to understand everything there is that Jesus Christ is saying and all there is about God? What makes us think that a superficial, shallow, touch and go, little bit of kind of like maybe give them a 2% of our week to Jesus or 2% of our day to Jesus is actually going to develop us into an understanding of who he is, what he's doing, why he's doing it? Listen, folks, the devil is going to move in there and mess with your head and mess with my head and cause us to blame Jesus Christ because we don't understand what he's saying. We don't get how he's working, and you're not going to get it overnight. It is going to take time to understand who he is. Any good relationship requires concentration. It requires effort. It requires time with all else shut out and a determination to get to know that individual and grow in your relationship with them. What makes us think that God is something we can understand so simply and have all the answers to? Oh, call the preacher and we're just going to ask him and then all the questions are going to be answered. It doesn't work that way. Even his disciples misunderstood everything that was coming out of his mouth because he's God. His ways are not our ways. The Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his ways than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. You're not going to always be able to wrap your head around what God's doing right away. Look at chapter 11 in the book of John in verse number 46. Jesus has gone ahead, and you know the storyline already. Jesus goes down to the grave. He calls Lazarus forth. Lazarus comes forth. He's raised from the dead. All these people watch. All these people see. And in verse number 46, look at this. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. The religious crowd that wanted to run off and report to their religious leaders were right there seeing what Jesus Christ did beyond the shadow of any doubt. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, and regardless of seeing them raise Lazarus from the dead, they still didn't believe that he was doing what he was doing, that he was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah, that he was sent from God, that he was God himself. They still rejected, though they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Some people will always misunderstand Jesus Christ. They will never get it because their hearts are dark and they are evil and they are wicked. Even if they are religious, even if they are living a clean life, even if they are holy rollers, they'll never understand him because they don't want to understand him. So no matter what, they're not going to get it. And what you say to them, he loves you anyways. And I hope before you die, you get who Jesus Christ is. But people misunderstand him. Strikes me very, very odd to talk to people and always, I mean always, it is so rare the exceptions prove the rule. Why did God let this happen? God didn't
do it. I just don't understand. If there was a God in heaven, why would he let that happen?
There is a God in heaven, and what he did is he set us up in a perfect garden. It wasn't a heartbreaking place. It wasn't a sinful place. There wasn't a thorn. There wasn't a thistle. You know, men worked, and they worked without sweating, and it was fun. Can you imagine that? I can't wait to go to work. Yeah, tomorrow's Monday. That's what it was like. That's how God set it up. The curse was by the sweat of your brow with thorns and thistles and the ground fighting you back, not giving you the fullness of its power. Women were having babies without screaming, without labor, without any trouble, without any risk whatsoever. I mean, just, oh, another baby, praise the Lord. Not, get that idiot out of this room, I'm going to kill you, it's your fault. None of that was going on. God did not intend all this, folks. But everybody overlooks that minute fact. Even people that know the Bible misunderstand God. And they say, why would God let this happen? Now, let me say this. According to your individual circumstances, I have no idea. There are some things that happen that I just shake my head. One of the men said in the hospital this week, he said, no, God ain't going to let nothing bad come out of this. Not to him, because he's a good guy, and that just wouldn't make sense. And I did not start preaching. I did not bust out a Bible and say, hey, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I just went like that. Because there's no way to explain it to somebody that doesn't even know Christ as their Savior. You can't explain to them the workings of God. I don't know. But can I say this? According to the Scriptures, we can look and we can see some things God does through those things. Some things God will bring out. Some things we know are Bible, and actually when you're in the middle of your trouble or you're in the middle of your frustration or you're living with pain from the past, you can remember some of these things that we'll show you in the text this morning. And I hope they'll be a help to you. First thing God will do in your troubles when he's late, the reason he allows him to go on, verse number 4, the Son of Man is glorified. When Jesus heard that this sickness, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The Lord's glorified. He's glorified by purposefully being late, by not showing up on time to heal Lazarus. Yes, God was going to get glory out of that thing by allowing that pain to transpire and not stopping it. Well, God could. Yeah, God could have stopped sin at the beginning, but that's not the way he operates. I did not come up to my wife and rack a shell into the chamber of a .45 and put it at the side of her head and say, marry me. It's not a great way to start a nice, lifelong, loving relationship, is it? I'm your protector provider. It's going to be great. Why do people think God would do that? Well, why wouldn't God stop sin if he knew it was going to happen? Because he gives a free will. He wants to treat you so right that you will choose to serve him, that you will choose to follow him. And folks, when we don't, he has treated us so right that there is no excuse for our sin in departing against him. The Son of Man is glorified by allowing these things to happen. Why? Look at verse number 19. Many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. All these people had gathered around and they had showed up. I mean, the support group was there. All the friends, all the families, all the relatives, all the Jews are there. Look at verse number 31. It says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But that's in context of verse 32. That's in context of verse 31. That the Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. They're all there. The Jews are all there. And what are they doing? They're trying to offer comfort. And let me say real quick, it is a blessing when people gather around you in a time of need. It's a blessing when there is some support from others. It's what we should do. But you realize the support a human being can offer you is very limited. Have you ever been through a hard time and had somebody come up and say, oh, I know what you're going through? Oh, really? So you've been divorced too? No, but... Appreciate you, thanks. It's nice. Right? Right? I mean, is that not the reality of it? Sometimes people come to offer support and all they do is hurt more. We had somebody, my wife, we were very young, got pregnant, and we'd only been married maybe a year and a half and had a miscarriage. One of the brethren who met well said, oh, it's okay, honey, you can have another one. Thanks. Appreciate that. That was a help. Didn't mean it. That wasn't trying to be hurtful. But there's just a limit to how much people can help sometimes, isn't there? Hey, we ought to do our best. I'm not trying to discourage you from being a comfort to somebody. But all the Jews are there comforting Mary. All the Jews are there comforting Martha. And it wasn't cutting it. You know, when they heard Jesus was coming, they said, oh man, I got to get to Jesus. Get me to Jesus. I need Jesus' help right now. How is the Son of Man glorified in your problems? Because sometimes there's nowhere else to turn. There's no other hope for you. There's no other help for you. But you have to have Jesus Christ. And it's in the intensity of that moment. It's in the intensity of that pain. It's in the pressure of that situation that you realize there's nowhere else to turn. There's nobody else who knows. There's nobody else who truly cares. Jesus cares when my heart is weak. Jesus cares when I'm deeply pained. Jesus cares. He always cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And it's the Son of Man who's glorified when he shows up and gives healing when you can't find it anywhere else. It's a miracle from God. And Jesus Christ can be glorified when there's no other recourse, nowhere else for you to turn. Why do people rebel against him in those moments? When you have nowhere else to go, why is it that so many times we get angry towards him? People can't help. My grief is still here. My grief is still real. My burden is still heavy. Nobody understands me. Yeah, they were trying to help, but you know what? A stupid thing to say. You should never say somebody like something like that to somebody in this situation. I understand getting bitter towards people, but why do we push away God? When he's really the only one that can bring comfort in your soul, can bring healing to your heart. He's the one that can bury the past. I've seen Christians walked around with a skeleton chained to their back, and that skeleton is the past. I've seen it where it's their own sins that they can't forgive themselves for, even though Jesus forgave them. I've seen it where it's somebody else's sin against them when they were innocent, when they were young, and somebody else sinned against them. And they walk around carrying that skeleton, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can release that thing. It serves to bring glory to God. You know, there's no greater way for him to prove his love. Verse number 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. How does it prove his love, preacher? It proves Jesus Christ's love for you when he allows you to go through something. Because guess what? He went through some things. How else are you going to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ without carrying a burden? The Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus Christ knew. I personally believe, and this is just my opinion, I personally believe God allowed him to feel a pressure that nobody else has felt. I believe God allowed him to understand in a supernatural way and in a spiritual way the burdens that everybody in this room carries, even though Jesus himself in his life may not have gone through what you went through. Jesus himself is not chained to a sinful past. Jesus himself may not have had some of the things committed against him or bad circumstances in his life that you've had, but I believe God allowed him to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says he was tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin. He understands
forbids you. He knows you. The Bible says he didn't need a man to even tell him because he knew what was in man. He understands you. Hey, he knows how to bear that burden. And there's no greater way to prove his love to you than to allow you to go through some things so that you can be more conformed into his image.
Can I say this? There's a certain level of spiritual life you'll never get to without suffering. Jesus Christ suffered. And without some suffering, while you're in a sinful body, suffering plays a role in the Christian life that conforms that Christian into the image of Jesus Christ. I wish it happened differently. I wish there was a way for me to have all the blessings of God and nothing bad ever happened to me and yet be more like Jesus. But that just wasn't reality. That just wasn't his life. We say we want to be more Christ-like. We say we want to be ready to see his face. We say, hey, listen, I say this, I say it publicly. I've been saying it for years. I'll say it again. I want the power of God on my life. I don't want to get in a pulpit and preach and have people just leaving untouched, not hearing from God. I want the Spirit of God. I want the power of God. I want the presence of God. I want to open my Bible. I want the Holy Ghost of God to speak to me and open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of his law. I want my life to be worth something. I want to impact somebody else. I want to help somebody else. And I can't do that unless God allows me to go through some things. The Son of Man can't be glorified in my life unless I'm willing to take up my cross and follow him. We quote that verse not understanding at all what that means. That doesn't mean I'm going to church on Sunday because I'm a Christian. And yes, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to put a cross on the back of my car so everybody knows I'm a Christian. Taking up my cross and following Jesus. That cross means suffering. In real life. In practical life. What kind of a message is that preacher preaching? A Bible message. This is Bible, folks. You go through your Bible and you watch the men God touched. You watch the men who glorified Jesus Christ. Look at how they died. They died martyrs. They suffered. They were hated. They were considered off-scouring to the world. They were mocked. They were mistreated. Hey, they had all kinds of problems Paul could hardly see. He lived his life with a health problem. He said, God, please remove this thing. And God said, no. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Abundance of revelation was given to Paul. Paul was a powerful man with God. Paul understood a lot. Paul's life was impacting, still impacting the world today. The Son of Man was glorified through that man's life. He said, God, please let me just see. And God said, no. That messenger of Satan, it wasn't of God, it was of Satan, is there to keep you humble, lest you be exalted and become unusable. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Why was Jesus late? Why didn't Jesus show up and fix his eye problems? Because the Son of Man wanted to be glorified in his life. Something else you'll see that'll happen in times when Jesus Christ feels late to you is you'll get to see his heart like you've never seen it before. Look at verse number 35. This is the one verse when the Sunday school teachers say, go memorize a verse, and if you have it next week, you get a candy bar, but they aren't specific about the verse. All the kids come in with this one. John 11:35, Jesus wept. You guys, it didn't say Jesus cried. It didn't say Jesus got teary-eyed. It didn't say Jesus' voice cracked. It said, Jesus wept. Before that, we always read it. It said, it groaned in his spirit and has a small s there. It was the spirit of a man. He had a human spirit and the spirit of God. He was just as human as you are. And he felt the human pain and the human instinct of a loss of a loved one. And it doesn't say he got teary-eyed. Don't forget, I already told you, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows, plural, and acquainted with grief. Grief is a deep sadness. Grief is a life-changing experience where a person goes through that and they're never really that same person again. He was acquainted with it. And he's standing here. He loved this man so much. The Bible says he wept. Have you ever cried until, I'm not trying to be disgusting, just real. The snot's running out. You can't cry anymore. Your stomach hurts. Your diaphragm hurts. You feel sick deep inside. Your Savior did too. The Bible talks about David and it says he wept until he had no more power to weep. The lion killer, the bear killer, the giant killer, the warrior wept until he couldn't weep anymore. Just laying there broken. He said in the Psalms, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul melteth for heaviness. Quicken thou me and strengthen thou me according to thy word. Jesus Christ's heart can be seen. And folks, his heart can be seen when he's late. When he didn't show up to fix your problem when you wanted him to. And from your perspective, like I said in the introduction, from your perspective, you're going, I don't get this. I don't understand this. And you call the preacher and he says, brother, I have no idea. I'll just pray for you, man. His heart can be seen in those moments. Jesus Christ, folks, he cares. Not just his heart that's seen, his emotions that are seen, but his intentions are going to be seen if you'll stay with him. Look at verse 43. He goes there to the graveside, and for the sake of time, we'll just pick it up in verse number 43. They roll back the stone. Before they do, they argue with him because he's been dead for 4 days already, and they're like, Lord, by now he stinketh. And Jesus says, roll back the stone. Verse 43, see they don't understand him. They're even arguing with him at this point. They don't get what he's doing. They're fighting him all the way. Verse 43, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Okay. I thought this was the end. Nothing Jesus was doing was making sense to me. This didn't add up. But now I see what his intentions were from his heart. Now I can see he did care when I thought he didn't. He did love me. He did love Lazarus when it looked like he didn't. And now his purpose is being revealed, and he's actually making this man a type of something he's about to do. He laid a great honor on Lazarus. An honor that goes beyond. I mean, you haven't seen an honor like this. I mean, it's very rare. You look through your Bible and find somebody who gets this kind of honor, who can say, yes, I'm Lazarus. I was raised from the dead. Everybody had given up on me. My friends and family had given up on me. Nobody was there. They were just weeping over the fact that it was over for me. There was no hope. And then Jesus showed up. I was laying there dead in trespasses and sins. And I heard the voice of my Savior. And he brought me out of that grave. Hey, something great happened. He has great intentions. He wasn't just going to leave him there rotten. It looked like he was. Human rationale would say there's no way it's over. But when Jesus got on the scene, Lazarus, come on. That's what happened to you when you got saved. You were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. And when you heard the voice of Jesus Christ calling to you, you responded. You said, yes, I hear him. Yes, I'm a sinner. I hear that voice. And you came to Jesus Christ and he put life in you, eternal life, because you responded to the voice that you heard in your heart. Ain't something the preacher can do. I can't drill a hole in your head and pour it in. And don't give me this garbage. Oh, he's just emotional. Just got moved by an emotional speech and telling sob stories. I don't tell a whole lot of sob stories. I just given you the truth, and something burns down inside of you, and you realize you're a sinner, and you realize you haven't done what that book says you ought to do. That's the Holy Spirit of God dealing with you. And people that don't understand what's going on, they confuse the preacher for God or God for the preacher or whatever they do. They take it personal, you know. They get all upset with the preacher. Don't get upset with me, man. I ain't following you around. God's giving you a message. Will you listen to that message? Well, it's not what he said. It's the way he said it. Oh, hogwash. Hogwash. You know why this country voted in Trump? Because he said a bunch of things he shouldn't have said. People like it. What's the issue? The issue's a heart. If it's truth, you'll take it, whether you like the way it was said or don't. That's an excuse. Truth is truth.
Jesus Christ gave you new life, but here's what I like about him. He didn't just want him raised from the dead. You know what he said there at the end of verse 44? Loose him and let him go. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't just save you? I'm glad there's more to it than just I'm saved now on my way to heaven, past the pipe.
Yeah, amen.
I'm glad it's not just, yeah, I'm saved, but I got to keep my old sins with me. I got to walk around with my grave clothes on. I don't care what you used to be. You're not the ex-drug addict in this church. You're not the person who's been divorced in this church. You're not the ex-alcoholic in this church. You're not the ex-fornicator in this church. When Jesus saved you, he got those clothes off you. He gave you a new life. He put new garments on you. Don't let the past define you.
If anybody walks around here, oh, this guy, you know, this guy used to be a...
Send him to me.
Yeah.
Because the past does not define your presence when Jesus Christ gets a hold of you. He said, take that stuff off him and let him go free. Man, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad that going through this life with all the pains, with all the ups, with all the downs, with all the uncertainties of life in this sinful world, I'm glad I'm not going through it alone. I'm glad there's one who cares. He knows my name. He's with me every step of the way. He's going to help me. He's going to comfort me. He's going to guide me. He's going to direct me. He's going to speak to me, and he's going to use whatever he allows me to go through for his glory and for his honor. And then at the end of it all, he's taking me to heaven. I got it good. I'm glad. I'm free, man. Ah, I feel sorry for you Christians. You can't drink and you can't smoke and you can't... What are you talking about? What are you talking... Look at this. I can drink. Don't matter if it's water or beer. I can do it. I don't want to. I get choked. I get choked too. You know why I don't want to? Knock it off. You like that way too much. Some of you are praying against me this morning. You know why I don't want to? I've been loosed.
Amen.
I've been let go, man. I don't feel a pressure to. I don't feel a need to. My life is great. I enjoy it. I don't wake up with a headache. I don't burn a bunch of money on stuff I shouldn't be burning money on. I don't have to worry about the cops when they pull me over. I'm not kicking pipes under the seat and trying to put my elbow over paraphernalia. I'm not living like that. I'm happy. Why? Because somebody loosed me and let me go. It's not because I'm any better than anybody else. It's not because my flesh doesn't like that stuff. It's because somebody loosed me and let me go. You know what he's got? He's got great intentions for you. Great intentions, but guess what? He's not going to get your attention unless he allows you to go through some things. The last thing I want you to see is back in verses 7 through 11. He says to his disciples there, let us go into Judea of Galilee. His disciples argue with him there for a little bit. They don't understand what's going on. Look at verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. You know why Jesus is late sometimes? In other words, allowing things to happen that you don't think should be happening? Because it's in those moments that his light can be revealed in you. Everybody expects you to talk good about Jesus when you get a promotion. You know, it just drives me crazy. Watching these, I love to watch the UFC, MMA stuff, and jiu-jitsu fighters. I love to watch their competitions. You know what drives me nuts? Whenever they win the gold, you know, or they win the fight, the championship, they're like, whatever. I'm glad that they bring any attention to God, but it just, I just wonder if you can do the same thing when you're standing over a casket.
Come on.
See, that's different. I wonder if you can do the same thing, like, oh, this guy's a loser. He took last place in his bracket. Oh, praise the Lord. Why is it always, oh, it's all him, it's all him, when you win? Is he like your lucky charm? Like, oh, Jesus, I want to win. Like, he's sitting in heaven going, oh, okay, I'll help you beat that other guy. Just seems silly to me. You know what really touches my heart? To see some old warrior, man. Got gray hair and they got wrinkles. They've been through some things in life. And they say, God's good. That's light, man. That's light. That's the one I'm going to when I get bad news. That's the one I'm going to call up and say, hey, man, you're still happy and you're still serving Jesus and you got a touch of God on you and you've been through a lot. Can you help me? I want to talk to you about what you've learned. Folks, it's in those times that the light is revealed. It's the test of who you really are. The problem is men don't get it. That's the problem. We looked at it all the way through the passage. Nobody understood him. But the power of Jesus Christ is seen in these times when men don't get it. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Same thing happens when Mary comes. Here's the point of the message, and I'm done. Watch this. Jesus said he's going to rise again. You know what Martha thought? Doctrinally, spiritually. She was so bad off that she truly believed there was no hope for her current situation. And she was so spiritual. I got tremendous respect, not sarcastically, I got tremendous respect for this woman. Because she was so serious about Jesus Christ that she was at peace with the fact that he was late. She didn't understand it. He let Lazarus die. She didn't get it. He could have stopped it, and he didn't. And it was okay with her. And he said, he's going to rise again. She said, yeah, Lord, I know in the last day. I already know. I heard that. I read my Bible. I believe all that. I get it. I know. The spiritual answer wasn't helping her, but she was at peace with it. You know what she wasn't getting? The same thing a lot of people, a lot of Christians I know don't get. He wasn't talking about later. Yes, you're going to rise again. Yes, you're going to have a glorified body. Yes, you're going to live in heaven forever. But Jesus Christ cares about you now. He was talking to her about now, and she still wasn't getting it. She had to just wait a couple more minutes, a little more time here, had to pass, till she saw him come out and go, oh, he was talking about now. Can I say this, Christian? No matter what you're going through, you serve a risen Savior. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You serve a risen Savior. So yeah, you're going to lay your body someday in a casket if Jesus tarries. But you're not going to die. That's just your body laying down. Your spirit and soul are saved. They're going straight to heaven. You're passing from death unto life. You're not going to die. Praise the Lord for that. We all believe that. But what about believing him for now? You may be going through something this morning. I know that our church, this is really a timely message because our church has, there's a lot of people that got problems. And we're not talking about foolishness. We're not talking about goofy stuff. The problems with the preacher, problems with each other. I'm talking about personal problems in their life. There's a lot of people carrying heavy burdens right now. And can I say this? Yeah. God's going to reward you when you get to heaven if you're faithful. Yeah, all that's going to happen. But there's more to it than that. If you'll stay faithful to him, if you'll find him in your troubles, if you'll trust him when he's late, he's going to do something for you in this life too. My wife and I were going through a particularly hard time a while back, and she was very discouraged, and I was too. We both were. She came into me in the morning, and she said, honey, look at this verse I found. I think it's still her life verse. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because we easily sit back and say, yeah, God's going to reward us when we get to heaven if we're faithful. God's going to bless us. God's not going to allow us to, you know, go through all this without rewarding us. She said, look, honey, God said that if we don't faint, he's going to bless us in this life too. So that's carnal and unspiritual. That's human. And I'm human. And he knows and he cares.
Right. Amen.
And I thank him for it this morning. Let's bow our heads, if you would. Please just remain seated.